Okay. Welcome to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees, September 8th, 2026, public hearing and regular business meeting. Call to order time is 6:03. If you will take the roll, please.
Interim Chief Weldon.
Present.
Fiscal Officer Ross, absent. Trustee Wilkerson.
Present.
Trustee Reese.
Present.
Trustee Dick.
Here.
Assistant to the Fiscal Officer Fortunato, here. Presiding Julie Reese.
Okay. If you will please, if you can stand, please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, first up tonight, we have a public hearing. Do you want to read that?
A public hearing scheduled for September 8th, 2026 by the Bethel Township Trustees, Miami County, for case ZTA-03-26, a request to amend the Bethel Township zoning resolution text per resolution number 26-07-071.
Okay, first up is comments by the applicant. In this case, the Board of Trustees is the applicant. I didn't have anything to say tonight. Okay. So we don't have any questions for the applicant. So next up will be comments by the public. Is there anybody who wants to speak? Well, let me read one thing first. Let me read some rules. Okay. So here's the rules for tonight. This is a public hearing. So by law, it's to hear public comments about the case. So it's not any topic. We'll have that later in the agenda. This is to talk just about this case. So each person who wishes to speak will get 5 minutes. Hopefully it won't go over. May have to limit that to 3, but we'll start with 5. You must come to the podium to speak and give your name and address. So that's up here. This is your opportunity to address the board, not to address the audience or interact with the audience. Please show the proper decorum while speaking. Stick to your points and be clear about what you don't like or like about the proposed changes. Please do not repeat the same concerns that previous folks have already expressed. Tonight, we will only be discussing the proposed text changes, as I just mentioned. Please do not speak out from the audience. Only speak when it is your turn and you are at the podium. And one last request, if you wish to talk among yourselves, please go outside to do that, because it's very difficult for the people around you and for us to hear when there's side conversations going on. So that's it. So who do we have first?
Connie Keelan.
Shouldn't we say
for
Nancy?
She already read it. So in your, they're in here, right?
Yeah, I don't.
Connie Elam, 4510 Ross Road, Tip City, Ohio. Basically, I just have one short comment. And being at the Zoning Commission meeting and listening to the changes they recommended, I was pretty much, and it's just an opinion, of course, I thought everything was pretty well set in place, except that I would prefer that we went back to what the trustees had on the impervious surface. I would rather see that more stringent than what the Zoning Commission, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Recommended.
So you're saying you want the 35%?
Yes.
Versus?
Okay. Yes. And one of the reasons why I can just state that is because, as I've said before, I'm pretty much against any new I-1 zoning in the township. I'm not really clear on, I've heard comments about grandfathering and all those types of things, so I will state that I'm not sure how that will affect other people, but as far as the reason why I'm for that is because I don't really see any place in the township that we want any new I-1 zoning. And we're already having issues with I-1 zoning.
You're straying from the topic a little bit, just wanted to warn you.
So, did she just want me to forget that?
No, I mean, just, we're here to talk about what's proposed, and we did not propose anything about not having new I-1.
No, but it sort of leads into why I feel that way, is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. I just feel like it will make it less attractive for anybody to even come and ask for I-1 zoning in the township. Does that make sense?
Yep, okay.
Okay, that's it.
Perfect, thank you.
Judith DeCenzo.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. Jody DeCenzo, 7835 Singer Road. My comments also relate to impervious surface percentage, and I honestly don't have a strong opinion. I wanted to ask the trustees for the basis of their 35%. And also, it seemed like people at the last meeting, the zoning related meeting, thought that we could move away from the 35% because we had the requirement for the drainage development plan. I might not be using the terminology properly. From the reading that I was able to do, impervious surface is not simple. Even determining what is an impervious surface can become very complicated as people develop new materials. And the point I wanted to make related to this is that there are reasons beyond the drainage to limit impervious surfaces. So I think it may be simplistic, naive, whatever you want to say, to conclude that because we have a drainage plan, or we're requiring that, to say that we can ignore a reduction or a modification to the impervious surface percentage. So a question, what's the basis for the 35%? An acknowledgement that it impacts more than what a drainage development plan might satisfy. And then just lastly, thank you, and don't let perfect be the enemy of good.
Good comment.
She always has good comments.
Yeah. Are you wanting to take the 35% or are you wanting to take the 35%?
So, hold on, let me finish my notes. So this is the public hearing part where you guys get to speak, and then when we do the resolution to vote on the changes, we have discussion then. Mm-hmm. And I have some comments about that, where the 35% came from, and then you can put yours in as well. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, we don't do that here. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I know, but I just thought she wanted her question asked right there.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that we will answer her question, but it will be during the resolution. Who's next, please?
Islam Akhmadov.
I'll put it over there so you can reach it.
It's not on, by the way.
No, it's not on.
Oh, you don't want it to be on?
No, they're not on.
This is a low.
Just making sure, yeah, because I just making sure.
Just speak up. We have the recording, so.
Got it. So, good evening. Yeah, my name is Islam Akhmadov. My address is 7146 Bluestream Drive, Tipton, Ohio. So, yeah, I spoke at the previous zoning commission hearing, specifically about items 8 and 10. So, you know, I don't need to get too deep into that, so I'll just keep it brief. So yeah, like I was saying there, the Miami County Planning Commission unanimously recommended denial of this specific amendment. And then the Bethel Township Zoning Commission then voted 5-0 for approval with modifications and specifically recommended removing the 35% impervious surface limit and removing the proposal that would move the remaining I-1 principal permitted uses to conditional uses. And so tonight I'm asking the board to follow those recommendations. On the 35% limit, there is no study or evidence supporting it from 85 to 35% as per what the Zoning Commission had said that day. But if there is something to do with that, please adjourn the discussion. I'd love to hear it. Then county staff recommended that stormwater standards instead can meet up for it. And so, you know, if that's what the county staff, who are, you know, very much professionals in that regard, are saying it, and the township has already adopted such requirements, I feel like there is no additional restriction that needs to be applied, unless, again, there are studies that show something to do with there being a reason for 35% reduction. But I also wanted to raise item 9. And so it's presented as simply fixing commas and grammar in the purpose of the I-1 district, but the proposed wording specifically now says that one purpose of I-1 is to limit offsite impacts and outdoor storage, from simply saying limit offsite impacts, comma, outdoor storage. And now it is to limit offsite impacts and outdoor storage. That's not simply moving commas, it becomes like a whole new meaning. Outdoor storage becomes a separated stated use, and that the township is now supposed to limit. For an industrial district, that could have real consequences for how outdoor business activity is interpreted in the future. If the intention was to only correct the grammar, then the meaning should not be changing. And if the intention is to change what I-1 is supposed to allow, then that should be clearly explained and justified before this resolution or zoning text amendment is voted on. And on item 10, the township says some existing uses really do not belong. So tonight I ask, you know, what uses, based on what evidence do these uses not really belong? And why does that justify making every remaining I-1 principal permitted use conditional? And so tonight I respectfully ask you to remove items 8 and 10, and either remove item 9 or revise it so a grammatical correction does not become a substantive zoning change. And if any of the trustees disagree today, I simply ask that you explain the reasons why before you vote. Thank you.
One question. Okay, you don't live in Bethel Township. Do you own a business in Bethel Township?
No, not me specifically. I'm a student. I'm a graduate student.
So your purpose here is for... You don't own a business here.
I'm involved with a lot of the business owners that have businesses here, and I speak up for them. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to have a voice in this county.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it. Oh,
Jay. I heard last Tuesday, actually, I don't need to fill that out, but I will anyway.
By law, you do not have to, you are not required to fill out a pink sheet at a public hearing, but we still ask that you do, because then we can get the name spelled correctly in the minutes. So that's really the purpose of it. But you don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, I was going to remind you guys the exact same thing that Islam just said. You know, 8 and 10 were both recommended against by both your own zoning commission and by the Miami County Planning Board. And I just have a question related to item 9, the grammatical change. And if you guys are trying to limit outdoor storage in an I-1 light industrial district, my question just becomes then, where does it belong? And I understand that this is not a question and response situation. It's something that I think I would like to hear from you guys' dialogue here later in this meeting, is explain, where does that outdoor storage sit? Because I, for one, have numerous snowplows, we can call them by name, that do need to sit in an outdoor storage, but they don't pose a smell, dust, whatever sort of off-site impact you guys are concerned about. And so I don't think they fit in an I-2 district, and so then the question is, where do they fit? And so I'd like to, I guess, respectfully ask you guys to be careful with the grammatical changes, because what you guys are doing will, the purpose statement of the I-1 will help influence future ambiguity questions for your code in I-1. And so getting the words right, like, I agree there needs to be some punctuation, the current writing, the purpose statement, I believe, it doesn't really have clarity. So I'm in agreement, we need to clarify it, but I think we need to get this exactly right, and allow all light industrial businesses to have a path forward in light of this change. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? No sheets?
I don't have any other papers.
Okay, does anybody else wish to speak on this or at this public hearing for case ZTA-03-26? Anybody? Okay, hearing no more, we will close the public comments and close the public hearing. Next up is staff reports. I see the deputy sheriff isn't here yet, so we will just continue to the fire department report. Chief Walton,
so,
if you please.
As you can see here, can you go down to the next page? Most of our runs again are EMS related with about 31 out of the 50. We did have a couple miscellaneous type fires and called out for one building fire that was mutual aid over in Tip City. But otherwise, mutual aid running roughly about the same. Most of the calls that I did look at where we had incoming mutual aid, a lot of those were with our units, especially one at the very beginning. I'm not sure if most of you are aware, but Huber Heights is carrying whole blood, and we had a situation where we needed whole blood.
Mm-hmm.
So I called them in, mutual aid. They gave the whole blood. We did the rest of the care and the transport of the patient. So.
They just started that, didn't they?
No, they've had it in place for just over a year now, and they've given blood 10 times. They're the first in the area to carry whole blood. And we are currently the only mutual aid department who has called them twice to give whole blood. And both times we've given whole blood.
Okay, and did you want to remind people about the levy?
Yes,
no.
Don't forget we do have the levy coming up in October. It is a renewal. We're not asking for any additional. So really want to see everybody out there voting for that levy.
And the fire?
The what?
Fire days.
I have that in
there. Oh, you got it? Good.
Yeah.
She's going to do it.
Yep. Okay, so next up will be the planning and zoning report. Did you want to do that, Secretary?
You want to read all that?
No, I would say just summarize it. You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a higher than usual applications for zoning certificates, and those are being worked and issued or denied as appropriate. And then we have some new BZA cases, some conditional uses for an accounting office, an event venue, and clerical office space, a truck and heavy equipment conditional use. And then we have one new variance for limiting, a variance from the limit of 15 parking spaces to a total of 66.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the summary version of what they're for. And then for the zoning commission, zoning amendment side, we will have on tonight, our next meeting, we have another zoning amendment request. And then we also have one zoning amendment to split a lot over on Ross Road. Okay, so you guys have this in your agenda. You can just read this stuff there. But year-to-date numbers, we've issued 51 zoning certificates and received 11 declarations. Those declarations are ag use only buildings. So that's quite a few for us, actually. 9 variances requested, 3 approved so far. And 5 conditional uses requested. By the way, this is through last Wednesday, so does not include Thursday and Friday. And then we have 8 zoning amendments requested so far this year. For the upcoming meetings, the Miami County Planning Commission will be on September 15th. They will be reviewing case ZTA 0426, and I believe the case to split the lot, which I left out of there, the ZA 0526 should also be on their agenda. The Board of Zoning Appeals, so all of those cases that are listed above, the variances and the conditional uses, will be on the October 1st agenda. Take note, that's a week later than normal. We normally have the BZA and the Zoning Commission meet on the fourth Thursday, but that's been pushed out a week to October 1st due to some scheduling conflicts. And then for the Zoning Commission, it will again be the text amendment case 0426 and the case to split the lot. And then the Board of Trustees eventually meets to hear the zoning amendment cases, so that also will be the text amendment 0426 and the lot split. So just take note those lot split ones got left off of there, but they will be at those meetings. And then for zoning enforcement, I'm not going to read all of them, but just note that 56 zoning enforcement letters have been issued this year. And I'm sorry, 132 have been issued this year, 56 this month. Okay, report from the township. Did you have anything else anybody wanted to add to the zoning? Okay, report from the township administrator. I'm currently the acting administrator. There are 6 resolutions on the agenda this evening. The first is to consider the zoning text amendment that we just heard, did the public hearing for. Then a resolution proposing additional amendments to the zoning resolution text. Following that is a resolution to continue the employment of Lorna Furter. She's currently scanning in our paper zoning files so we can get those online, and also she's organizing them because, as you can imagine, the paper files over the years since 1956 are not always in the correct folder, and sometimes have the wrong address on them. Like sometimes they get filed in the filer's address or the applicant's address rather than the property address. And of course, when we go to find out what happens to a property, it needs to be in the property address. So just a couple examples, she's organizing some of those as well as scanning them in. And then we'll have a resolution requesting additional and replacement traffic signs from Miami County Engineer's Office. These are some additional stop signs, and then we're gonna ask that we replace our handicap signs on the lot, which are barely readable. Readable, is that a word? At this time, old and rusty, and I don't even know if they have the right amount on them. And then next is a resolution to declare our old large diameter supply hose to be unfit for use and dispose of it. So we have to do this because we're a government agency, so we can't just put it in the trash can. We have to declare that it's of no value. And as our fire chief has pointed out, it's a very old hose and it's been repaired several times and cut and put back together. And so we did get new replacement hose in 24, I believe. Mm-hmm. So this is on the list to be disposed of.
We use COVID money, right?
Yeah, we use COVID money.
$36,000.
And then the next resolution is to record the electronic payments and warrants for June. And also, Terry, was it $1,300 or $3,100?
$3,100.
Okay, I thought I did it backwards after you told me. But it's good. We're good. Okay, next up are trustee reports. Trustee Wilkerson, did you have anything tonight?
No, I don't.
Okay, I don't have anything either. Trustee Dick, did you have anything?
We're doing the parking lot finally, and we're remodeling the bathroom. So next time you come, we'll have a new bathroom, and our parking lot will be finished. So that's it.
Okay. Is it the bathroom in this building?
Yes.
Okay. Next up are our financial reports.
I don't have anything.
Okay, so we typically put 2 financial reports in the agenda. This is for transparency purposes. The first one is the credit card detail. I say this every month, but what happens is you can look at any check or payment and see who it was paid to. But when it's put on a credit card, it kind of gets buried and you lose sight of what that purpose was and who it was paid to. So I started putting them in the agenda so that, like I said, for transparency, everybody can see that even though we do buy some things from Amazon, then you can see what we've bought from them. And then the deposits, we normally list in here as well, but they didn't get made till September 1st because we've been kind of busy. And so they will be reported as part of the September totals. Okay, next up is public comments on the agenda items. Anybody have anything for that? None? Okay. Next up, we have no discussion items, so straight to the action items.
Resolution number 26-09-085, a resolution approving zoning case ZTA 03026, a request to amend the Bethel Township zoning resolution text per resolution number 26-07-071.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Motion.
And a second? Okay, I will second. And now we're to the discussion. Okay, so first of all, in your packet and in the agendas you guys have, you see the Miami County Planning Commission recommendations there. We did not have anyone at that meeting to answer questions, so I just wanted to let you know that. It was fair week, so sorry, my apologies. Mm-hmm. So they did make some recommendations, and then also, you see the Zoning Commission recommendations in there, which several of you have already mentioned. So, what do you guys want to go through them one by one, or if we did pass, that'd be okay? Okay, so the first one is words and terms defined surrounding parking garages, parking lots, parking structures, public garage, and motor vehicles. Did anybody have any comments or questions on that one? So no changes to that. Okay, next up is words and terms defined for automobile filling station. So anybody have any comments on that? I do have a clarification I'd like to make. So research shows that typically now, I mean, keep in mind, we have an old zoning code. Mm-hmm. And typically now when there's a gas station, it comes with a convenience store. It's not the old standalone, you know, with a couple garages to get your oil changed. So it typically comes with a convenience store and or a car wash. So the zoning codes, the research shows that a lot of times those are accessory permitted uses to having a gas station. So the last two lines in there, you see that was part of the proposal, but I would like to clarify to those to say as a permitted use to gas stations. So that would be my clarification for those two. And the reason it says I-1 and I-2 is because gas station is currently in both of those. Objections to that?
What was that one more time?
So the last two bullets there on mm-hmm. page 10, to add those as an accessory permitted use for gas stations. Not just the general, but for gas stations.
Isn't that what this is saying?
Well, if we don't clarify that, then if someone puts a, what else is permitted in I-1? I don't know. A warehouse, mm-hmm. they could put a gas, or they could put a car wash next to it, mm-hmm. or as part of it, say it's an accessory use, but it's not. So just want to make the clarification that the permitted use, it's an accessory use for a gas station permitted use.
Okay. Yeah.
Just those last two bullets.
Okay.
Okay, nursery school. So the only thing here was to, so in the zoning code, a lot of times the definitions are blocked together. So school is one of those. where it has school and then elementary school, public and private. I don't know. There's a whole list of schools, right? Mm-hmm. So they're usually by last name, first name. But whenever we put something in the district to say it's permitted or not permitted, we put in there the English-like saying. So we would say nursery school instead of school comma nursery. So this is just to be able to find both versions of that, to just put a reference in for nursery school to say C school comma nursery. So that's all that is. Mm-hmm. Any changes there?
No.
Okay. The next one is we were missing these terms from our definitions, and we have a path to find these terms if they're not listed specifically in the Article 3 definitions. So taking that path, what happened was it became interpreted as something different than what the common zoning definition is. So these are from the zoning dictionary that we specified in our protocol of finding the definitions. Any changes to that one?
What number are you guys on here?
Number 4.
Can we keep that up? Thank you.
Sorry.
No comments on that one?
No.
Changes. Mm-hmm. Okay, number 5. Next up is child care.
Mm-hmm.
So our zoning code currently has nursery school or child care listed both as a principal permitted use and a conditional use in the B3 neighborhood district. So one is to fix that. And the proposal was that we allow child care and nursery schools as an accessory permitted use in R1 AAA, A1 and A2 as well, based on the need. So I don't know, Cameron, do you want to talk about
well,
this one?
Well, and who determines the need is what it comes down to when you say based on the need. Who determines the need?
Well, we do.
We do. And how do we make that determination? That
I thought you said there was a need.
There is a need, but what if I'm not in office in 4 years and somebody comes along? I just think it needs to be spelled out.
Well, we don't normally put that. The issue that's listed here will not go in the zoning code, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just informational to say this is why
mm-hmm.
we think this needs to be done. I mean, future trustees can change it back or
yep.
change it to something else, or but this would just be adding it to basically properties that can have a dwelling is where this came from. And then the other question is, so in the current zoning code, I should bring that. I'd have to look for each one. It's also permitted in, so B2 had the problem, but I think also in B1 and B3. Let me just look real quick. So B2, it's permitted. So in B3, it's listed as both
mm-hmm.
permitted and conditional. So we need to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the other B's, man, these need to be fixed so you can read them. So in B2 and B3, they're both listed, but not in B1. At least I don't see it. Sometimes they're backwards too, so I have to just check.
Under schools.
No, it can be nursery school or childcare, mm-hmm. or it could be childcare or nursery school. So it looks like B1 and B2 are the places where it's currently offered as permitted, except for the one where it's both.
So we have a need for it because we have a lot of in-home daycares now.
Okay.
That door just.
Well, so the question is, so.
Train of thought here.
Yeah, so. So the proposal here would be to basically allow it in the R1, AAA, A1, and A2 districts in addition to B2 and B3. And then do we want it to be permitted or conditional use in the one where it's both? Because we need to pick one. And then the other question is, in here we said, when we talked about it at the meeting, mm-hmm. we said we were going to have them get a permit.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other zoning, you know, other places that have their own zoning, it's a conditional use, and then they don't have to get it renewed. Mm-hmm. It would be good until they stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we could just make it a conditional use in all of those and do away with the permit part. So that's kind of the options.
Well, they also mentioned, too, in the meeting that they wanted to set a number, the max number, and the children as well.
So we have that in here under the 30.27D.
Mm-hmm. But if based on the state. Conditional use, they would.
We can still have the rules mm-hmm. that they can only approve it if it meets the conditions. Mm-hmm. The state sets a maximum of six.
Six per adult individual. So they could conceivably have two adults and get 12 children
over the age of two. We wrote maximum of six. So there's considerations when having it in residential, right? One is traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got drop off, pick up. So the more kids you have, the more traffic it could cause. You have noise, like I don't know. We don't specify how big the lot has to be,
mm-hmm.
so there could be exterior noise that the neighbors may not be happy with. So when we talked about it, I thought the idea was to limit it to six. Now the...
Yes, that was the idea, but since
so six
then,
period, not six per adult.
Right, but the state standard is six per adult over the age of two. It changes when the children become under the age of two. So, again...
Well, our thought was to limit it to six.
Period.
Period.
What do you think?
And then also...
No
problem.
Yeah, I think we can. We do in other places.
What?
And then the ZC asked about this. Does the limit of six include children living in the home?
And that's another thing. The state also has guidelines for that as well. And they also have guidelines for children who are what they call sub in, sub out. So, you know, you're getting into this whole big can of worms here for where you now have to become the police for the daycare that's being provided. So we either set a maximum of six, period, or we try to just allow it and let the state come in and either regulate. She has to get a license, or he has to get a license, because men do this as well. And the licensing board through the state would have to then set the guidelines for what they do or don't do.
Okay, so do you have a proposal for what you want to change this to?
So
let me read you the other ZC things first. They also asked, this wasn't a recommendation, it was a question,
mm-hmm.
can different children come on different days or different times?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, does it mean six at a time, or six enrollees total?
No, the state says you six on the premises at any given time.
Okay, so we would probably need to clarify that. And then they also suggested changing the hours from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a problem with.
Well, I think that's good because they're, you know, 7 to 3 is a standard shift. So
they'd have to drop off
yeah.
before then. So that change is okay with everybody for sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the maximum of six is...
You're good with the maximum of six as well?
I don't know what we're trying to do. There's a difference between somebody watching six kids or an actual nursery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are two different things. So I'm trying to understand, like, what are we trying to regulate?
We're trying to allow it here in the township now,
mm-hmm.
whereas we don't currently. So we're allowing in-home daycare now with a maximum of six children. That's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not really... The state has its own guidelines, so if it's a licensed home care provider,
mm-hmm.
they should be following the state guidelines, and there should be rules set up by the state and inspections done by the state.
Yeah.
So there's no need for us to come in and do the inspections or to monitor that way. However, it does become an honesty type thing, because, of course, you know, we're not going to be checking, and the state's not going to be setting up camp in the front yard. So it becomes a situation where the person who's doing the in-home daycare would have to,
yeah.
again, say, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to follow the rules. Because there are a lot of them here now that aren't, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So six would be fine then.
And it's six at a time, including or not including children living in the home?
Well, again, I think the state's going to set that for them.
And what is that? What is the accessory use in residential mean? In the R1 AAA district, what would accessory permitted use, what does that mean?
So it means you can do it, but we also are stating that you either have to have a permit or, as I said, we can, instead of having accessory use, we could make it a conditional use. Almost kind of like the conditional use route better, because then we don't have to have, we don't have to come and get a permit.
Mm-hmm.
It still provides,
it
still provides us the knowledge for us and the firefighters that there is this child care business in the home, which was the purpose of
mm-hmm.
putting a permit on it, right?
Terry,
but it would be a one-time thing.
You don't do any kind of inspections on those right now anyway, do you, in our area, unless it's a licensing issue?
Unless it's a licensing issue.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So yeah, that would again open the door for us to know, and you all to keep track of exactly who's doing it.
Yeah, foster care
mm-hmm.
would have to do an inspection,
mm-hmm.
and typically the churches that do daycare.
Yeah, in group home if there's any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are nursery school and child care the same thing? Or are these two different terms?
They would, to us, they would be the same thing.
Okay.
Wait, before I say that, though, let me just make sure.
Because I see them together in quotes.
So, I think one of them says to, let me look.
I think why I'm having such a hard time with this is, to me, nursery school to me means like, that's like at a church or
mm-hmm.
somewhere else, and I mean, there are 50 kids,
mm-hmm.
whereas child care is I'm watching somebody's kid or
mm-hmm.
maybe I have two or three other kids over and
mm-hmm.
somebody's parents, right? So those are different to me, at least in my mind.
The size is different.
Yes.
The size is different.
But we're grouping everything together, and I don't see how we are going, like, either you're going to make it really restrictive for child care or you're going to make it really relaxed for nursery school with this.
Well, they're currently always listed together, you know, in the,
mm-hmm.
the ones that I read to you. It's nursery school or child care.
Well, some of the in-home daycare providers do have nursery school,
mm-hmm.
Because they do have to set up, if they're doing Title 20, they have to set up an educational area for the children to work at if they're over two, and a good majority of them would be over two. So
yeah, I mean, where the six makes sense to me is the child care portion.
Mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't make sense to me is a nursery school. If somebody who had a business district and they want it to come in and get conditional use and they wanted to set something up and have 50 kids there and have providers and everything else and programs, that's something completely different.
So you want to remove the nursery part
of
it?
Well, I don't know. I just want to make sure whatever we're doing isn't gonna, it just seems, that seems like a very complicated,
giving a daycare center a free rein.
Yes.
Or
making somebody who has 5 or 6 kids over difficult to have that happen.
So do you want to do some research and bring it to the next meeting?
Yeah, I don't mind doing that.
So we can just remove number 5 then completely from the resolution.
What do you think?
I just think you just get, the simplest thing is just to give it a conditional use and let the board decide.
I mean,
if they come before the board, the BZA, and the BZA determines that it is an actual nursery school and there's going to be 20 kids versus 6, then they can say, okay, this doesn't meet the criteria, or it does, and then put stipulations on it. If it's 6 individual kids, then of course it's a slam dunk because it is an in-home daycare provider at
mm-hmm.
that point. But it gives 5 individuals the right to make the determination on whether or not it is, as we have defined, an in-home daycare, or it's actually going to be a nursery school, which is the language that is interchangeable here.
Right.
Are you good with the conditional use? Or are you good with
the conditional
use?
Yeah, I would
I'm
be
okay
fine
with
a conditional use. I think as long as we were to relax some of the stuff. I mean, even the staff comments from Miami County basically said that too, that some of this stuff is vague or maybe difficult to understand. If we moved it to a conditional use, that would give the opportunity to present a plan,
mm-hmm.
explain what you wanted to do, how many kids, and all of the other things that need to go along with it. Which would mean we would be able to remove some of this stuff and just make it a conditional
use. And it would be determined by the individuals as to specifically what they wanted in or out of the conditional use
mm-hmm.
at that time. So that's the only thing that I think is good about doing a CU versus just, you know, a certificate in general, is you actually get to sit down and say, okay, here's my plan, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and go over it with the individual and then make your determination from there.
Yeah.
Those 5 individuals. So that's my opinion.
I'm with you on the conditional use. That's why I suggested earlier, because we hadn't talked about that previously, I think, because it didn't come up.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that better than the permit and having it expire and having to get a new one. I think if we make it a conditional use, we should also make the B1s conditional uses as well, so it's consistent,
mm-hmm.
The B2 and
sure.
B3, that it would be consistent across the board.
Are you good with that?
Yeah, well,
because it's all in the same, it's the B, it's just, we have it in B now, in 2 of the B, of the 3 Bs.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just say in the other 2 that it's going to be a conditional use as well, then everybody's on the same page once somebody comes in and wants to do this
mm-hmm.
and sees Arthur and says, okay, I've got a daycare business going and I want to continue it. What do I have to do? Here's my zoning. I'm not R1 AAA, but I'm B1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're all on the same
so
page.
We would,
conditional
so
use.
We would get rid of all of the 0.03 things
mm-hmm.
and make those conditional use in R1 AAA,
mm-hmm.
A1, A2, B2, and B3.
Right.
Okay, and then the next paragraph, 2.07D, would go.
Mm-hmm.
No zoning certificates.
Mm-mm.
The next paragraph, the 30.27, would stay. And now keep in mind, that's only applies to a residential environment,
mm-hmm.
so not to the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Josh, that's where it would allow your
Mm-hmm. Two adults, 20 kids, or whatever.
Yeah, those would be, again, and the business districts, not necessarily on an R1 AAA property.
So the residential environment would be the R1 AAA?
And
or A1 and A2?
All three of them.
So is residential environment known as R1 AAA in A1 and A2?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. So that was one of the things I had in here. And so in our zoning, the words residential district, residential zone, residential area, I'm trying to think of all of them, residential purpose, residential property, they're all used. And so I did a little research, and what I was told was in the past that typically referred to R1 AAA, but there's examples that you can find where I don't think it was intended that way. For instance, having a yard sale. If it's only R1 AAA, you tell me I got an A1 property, I can't have a yard sale. It's never been applied that way. So I think the different versions, it's not applied consistently, and there's no definitions for any of them. So I do think that we probably need to come up with a definition. Right now, we could actually change the in a residential environment to specifically say R1 AAA, A1, and A2. I mean, the reason that
that would definitely add your clarification for a residence.
But we need to come back and fix that, because the problem with putting those in there is that now you have a district where it says it's a conditional use. And over here it says it matches because we did it today. But 5 years from now, somebody's going to change something over here and maybe not notice over here what it says. Right? So I think if we, and I have that on the future list to clarify, we need to go through and figure out what to call those things and make it consistent, so we don't have zone and property and parcel and purpose and area and district and environment. But once we clarify those, we could come back and fix this to put it back to the right term. But for today, we could put those specifically in there.
Are you good with that?
If that's what you want to do.
Well, you have to do that for three, too.
For three, on the second page?
On the next page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm not there yet. Well, no, because it falls under the overall title. Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to leave residential environment and then put comma R1 AAA A1 plus A and A2.
Like in parens, you mean?
Yeah.
That's fine. We can leave that and.
Okay, then you don't need to do three. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the other things, we were going to change the time to 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Right.
And number six was going to be maximum six at a time.
Right.
What about the children living in the home? That was one of the questions.
They're going to have to, I think they should have to deal with.
Do we say including or not including?
I just wouldn't specify, because the state has a rule for that already, and if they're licensed and they're following the state guidelines, then.
So if all these are going to be conditional uses, right, that would be a question that they're going to ask, is how many kids?
Right.
Right, and they would define a max number?
Six.
Yeah.
But what she's asking is, can that be the provider's children included in that?
Or is it an addition?
And again, I say that the state already dictates that. They have a rule for it. So we don't need to dot that I,
mm-hmm.
I don't think. I think the state should have to dot that I.
Okay.
We're saying we'll allow six kids on the premises at any given
mm-hmm.
time. They can be yours, or they can be your neighbors, or they can be your friend down the streets, but it's the maximum of six children.
So including.
It would
Please.
Be including then, yeah.
It says enrolled. Do you enroll your own children?
We don't know. We gotta work that out.
Okay.
Well, I guess what I'm saying about this is, so in R1 AAA, I think that kind of makes sense, but in like an A2 property, I mean, how many, you're talking 10 plus acres.
Maybe.
Okay, well.
We got.
I know.
We're looking at a property this week, that's 6 acres.
Even still, I mean, some of the A1, the A2s, those are larger properties. If somebody wants to build a nursery school, I'm not talking I'm watching six kids.
Well, that's different.
So
that's different.
So we're not allowing that here.
Yeah.
This is, nursery school can go on the B1. This is to allow somebody with a dwelling to offer childcare within their home. And these rules would apply to those three districts where it's in a dwelling, not a separate building.
And you're going to defer to the state's standard on what they would allow for a residential daycare. So again, you're by saying, yeah, you can have six children, you're not saying they if they have to be yours or they have to be your neighbors or John Henry's down the street. What you're saying is a maximum of six children. And you're hoping through the conditional use that they are licensed and the state has set the standard for the licensing that's going to be issued. So they'll tell them, okay, it has to be two of your own or four of your own. If you have two, you can't only have four of your neighbors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The maximum is going to be 6 to 1.
How does this work for somebody who wants to babysit?
That's it. If they're not charging money, then it's not a business. if it's grandma doing that, then it's grandma, you know. If it's Aunt Jody doing it, it's Aunt Jody. It's not, Aunt Jody's not being paid for it. But I guess Aunt Jody could be paid for it. Grandma could be paid for it, but.
No way.
Yeah. Not usually though, huh?
I mean, I guess we're back to the intention and
yes.
The letting the administrator interpret it, because the intention obviously isn't grandma babysitting grandkids.
Mm-hmm. And we don't. That I don't think we. Is that really what we want to do? Is get into grandma's business? I don't think so. I think our deal here is we're trying to figure out how to make it easy for an in-home daycare provider to do what he or she wants to do within reason,
mm-hmm.
and not inconvenience the neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, by having 20 children in a residential neighborhood when it really should only be a few.
What about the
That's
traffic?
Our plan.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, that's how I see it. But again, I'm only one person, so.
That makes sense.
I mean, the rest of the stuff I don't know where this number six is coming from. Like, where did that number come from?
I think in
the state has a maximum of six
per adult.
Yeah.
And it's and
so
they have
we figure if you're
well.
At home, and you know this is wasn't really intended to follow that, but it seems like a good guide.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thought. Here's my thought on that. Okay, if the state says that, you know, the good guideline, as Julie just said, is six to one ratio, then why would we want to do eight?
Yeah.
And ask them to put their license in jeopardy because we said you can have eight.
Yeah.
You know, so why not follow the same rules that they've set up, without getting in their business, so to speak. You know, the only business that we're getting in is issuing a conditional use. We're not saying we want to know, you know, how many kids you're checking in on a daily basis and on an hourly basis. We're
yep.
saying the maximum you can have on the premises is six and follow our rules. That's how I see it.
So for somebody who wants to do more than six, let's say they have two adults or three adults. How are they going to, they can't do that
in a residence
district,
mm-hmm.
but they can if they rezone to a business district? Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Or they're on a business district,
mm-hmm.
which is what the rules are today.
Right.
Right. So this is actually opening up a little bit more to allow.
What if somebody has 12 children?
Home.
Do you want to babysit?
We got five kids at home. We're one short of this.
No more kids for your wife.
You working on hitting that maximum?
Go over it.
I know.
Okay, so are we okay with what we talked about?
Yeah.
So did the zoning commission say six was a good number, or did they have a different number?
They only had, no, they asked, did the limit of six include children living in the home?
Okay, so.
No recommendation. Mm-mm. Can different children come on different days or different times?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean six at a time or six total? So we've said six at a time,
mm-hmm.
which I guess takes care of both of those. And then
mm-hmm.
they suggested changing the hours from 7 to 8 to
mm-hmm.
6 to 8.
That's
those
our zoning
recommendations.
Yeah.
That's on the bottom
of
page 7, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good. Okay, so next up
hold
is...
On.
Hold on.
Number 11.
Number 11.
Okay.
You have a number 13. Do you see that? Second line at the very
yes,
end.
Yes, at the end.
So are we missing 12?
No. I'm not sure.
I don't know what that 13's for. That
yeah, just
kind of just got
13.
Just cross that out. It doesn't fit. Doesn't really fit anything, does it? Like an
no.
extra? Okay.
Yeah, just cross out that 13
mm-hmm.
where it starts at 13.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do hours 6 a.m.?
It's 6 to 8.
Okay.
This little copy problem there on number 11.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the summary of what we changed there.
Yeah.
Is we got rid of, well, we're going to change the accessory permitted use to conditional use in R1 AAA, A1, A2, B2, and B3.
Mm-hmm.
The proposed 2.07D zoning certificate, all of that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
30.27D, we would add the clarification in parens of a residential environment to mean R-1 AAA, A-1, and A-2.
Yep.
And then number 6 would be 6 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7 would be hours from 7 to 8 would become 6 to 8, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And number 11, delete the number 13 and everything that goes with it.
Okay.
That's
it.
Next up is adding warehouses to B1, B2, B3. So this was suggested because it's a warehouse business is pretty clean business. It's similar to retail sales and parking structures and parking lots, but warehouses are not on any of those. And keep in mind B2 allows a dwelling permitted,
mm-hmm.
and B3 as dwelling is a conditional use. Is that correct? Did I get those? I didn't always get them in the right order. Yeah, B2 is dwelling by right, B3 is dwelling as a conditional use, and B1, of course, is no dwelling on either. Which is after these. So just for the conversation, keep
yeah.
that in mind. And the Zoning Commission did have a recommendation. They recommended not allowing warehouse on B2 and B3, only on B1. So not allowing it on the properties with the dwellings.
Mm-hmm.
So one...
Which I agree with.
Well, the proposal, one of the proposals could be that we limit the size of the warehouse, which we have done with retail space, I believe on that same B3. Yeah, so B3 has retail business less than 5,000 square feet in floor area. And B2 has the retail space with no limitation. Let me check that before I say that. They do, but it's a conditional use on B2.
B2.
Yeah. But no limitation on retail business.
Well.
So you have a proposal for what you would like to change then? Kami, you're saying?
I thought what they came up with was pretty good myself.
You don't even like having a limitation?
I don't want a warehouse with a dwelling, that's for sure.
But you're okay with retail with a dwelling?
Yeah. Because we have that already. We've got that in several places here already. We have retail, we've got where we've done B1, B2, we just changed one.
I guess I don't understand the logic of allowing retail and not allowing a warehouse. I mean, whether it has a dwelling or not, it seems, I don't know, just seems like a business, more of a business thing.
What do you mean?
And these are B.
I don't like warehouses with residents.
Okay, well, there it is.
So only add it to B1?
Yep.
Okie dokie. So we will scratch the second and third bullets with no even possibility of a restriction.
Right.
And that's as a conditional use.
Right.
Okay. So what if the B2, well, we can't say that.
No.
Okay, number 7. Okay, where are we at here? Oh, this was just to separate out the 3. We probably need to do this for everything, but I didn't suggest it for everything in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Is to separate out things that are combined, in this case, buildings and trades, contractors' yards, and utility storage yard. They're kind of unique definitions, especially the utility storage yard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should put them into 3 separate bullets. And I think the same thing, like, you know, Josh, you were just asking, is nursery, school, and childcare the same? So maybe we should stop doing these or things, or things separated by commas, because it adds to the confusion. But in this round, I only suggested dividing these 3 up. Mm-hmm. Any comments on that? Changes?
Good.
Can
I'm good with
hold
it.
On a second. Let me look at this real quick. So you're just removing the commas. You're adding an individual bullet for each one.
Right.
Yes.
And removing. Okay, you haven't gotten to that next one.
No, and so those were in B1, I1, and I2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just separating them into 3 bullets. Okay, not okay, changes?
I'm good with it.
Which, that's what they're in currently?
Yes.
It's one bullet, they're separated by commas.
Yeah, but you're not changing the conditional or the permitted use. You're
no.
just changing the way they're listed.
Mm-hmm. The way
correct.
It's listed.
Okay.
So no changes on number 7. So number 8 is the impervious surface. So, Let me tell you some logic behind this. And we've kind of already heard what the Zoning Commission and the Miami County recommended. So no zoning code that I could find anywhere had an impervious surface of 85%, maybe not even the 70%.
Miami County has 100%.
Please.
So when they have an impervious surface limit, no zoning code I could find had anything that high. And most of them were 35%. So that's where the 35% came from. Also, we proposed having to have a drainage plan or water runoff, stormwater runoff, rainwater runoff, all kinds of water runoff, right? But we do not have that plan defined yet. And also, Miami County basically said there's limitations on the township doing that because they're kind of, I think they're kind of responsible for some of it.
Well, they have to draft it.
And then the other thing is there's other reasons. If you allow a property to be 85% paved, okay, even if you have a plan, it's going to go on the neighbors. Right, and if we have the infrastructure and every single lot is at that limit, how is the infrastructure going to handle it? So I think for now, the proposal was 35% because we need to look at those other things. If we're gonna, I'm not necessarily against not having the limit if there is drainage available and there's a plan and all of that is in place, but it is not in place right now. So a lot that's wall-to-wall pavement is not good. We also lose all our green space, so you don't have any, I mean, you could have all buildings and pavement. And we also do not specify that the right-of-way is not included, so that could be the 15%, although a lot of times that's used for parking these days. So that was kind of the logic behind the 35%. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Township has 35% for everything. And like I said, there was no other ones that were 35, that were 80, near 85%. I did find some at 40 and 45%, but we already have our R1 AAA, I believe, at 35%.
Yes, it is.
I'm not sure why we would limit R1 AAA and to something more, way more stringent than something else.
Please,
not today. Not today. Not today. Can you leave?
No, I can't.
Then you cannot speak.
You're just
you cannot speak.
The public, Julie.
You cannot speak.
Let's end. If you do this one more time, if you do it one more time, we will end this meeting.
And not vote?
We will end this meeting.
And not vote?
We will end this meeting. So continue down this path if you choose, and everybody else then will reap the consequences of your decision to keep running your mouth.
But you're not going to vote.
Okay, 35% is what we have in R1 AAA. So again, I think that was kind of a stake in the ground for the reason for the 35% as well.
Okay.
So I'm for this right now. Like I said, down the road, if we want to look at a drainage plan being the alternative to not having a percentage, then I would be willing to look at that. But we don't have any. The only thing we have in place, not even yet, is that they have to submit a plan. But I think all of those other things need to be looked at before we say 85% is a good number. And I couldn't find any history on how it got to be that number. It just popped up one day.
You were talking about green space when we did all this. Mm-hmm. What is your feeling on it now? Because to me, the green space is the biggest issue. We don't have any in most of our eyes.
Right.
We have none. If you look around, it's all gravel or blacktop or concrete. So, I mean, how do we keep the integrity of the rural character of the property surrounding us in this community if we don't reduce that from 85?
Yeah. Well, I think, so you have the note here about the 3/4 acre. And why? I mean,
what note is this?
You say maximum, it's under 8.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, many of our I-1 lots are 0.72 acres.
Right. With, and I get the green space, just hear me out, with a 2-acre I-1 requirement, 35% is 0.7. It's almost 3/4 acre. So you're still going to have 3/4 acre paved. Or with impervious surface. Now I get the green space, but it's still the same amount of space.
No, because if you have 0.72 lot, 0.72 lot, 0.72 lot, 0.72 lot, all of those are 85%. That's not the same as 3 of those, which is equivalent to 2 acres, right? And only one of them being wall-to-wall pavement. It is not the same thing. You've got 2 with open space now.
Yeah. I hear, like I said, I hear the green space.
Okay.
The other...
It's not just green space. That's not.
Or
open
space.
Open space.
The other thing is, all not, I mean, each property is like a snowflake. They're all different. So some are going to drain better than others. I mean, some properties, I mean, you know, it's like I got areas on my property that don't drain no matter what. I got other areas that drain and do great.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the same for any property. I mean,
correct.
Some might do great at 35%. Some might do terrible at 35%.
Right.
That's where that stormwater management plan comes into place.
Yeah, so when we have that plan, that's what I said, I would be willing to happily come back and revisit this, but we don't have that plan right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we don't have, I don't, we just don't have it right now. And I just think it's prudent right now to make this less than 85%, because it should not be wall-to-wall pavement, which is what's going to happen.
Well, and I...
And what is happening, if you look at those 0.72 acre lots, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, compared to what they are now,
mm-hmm.
it's a totally different picture.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, it is. No.
No, you may not. Thank you, but no. 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 The answer is no.
Okay, so I did talk to Dan at the county engineer's office this morning
mm-hmm.
at length about this, and the reason we're having what we're the issue with the water is because of all the
mm-hmm.
the pavement that is over there now,
mm-hmm.
and essentially, my conversation with him is I'm going to meet with him and Paul in a week or so and try to put some sort of a, not only for that particular development, but for Winter Hill as well. Again, put something together with drainage and get some cost for that as well. Because
so
we're looking at hydro backing.
Please do not talk among yourselves.
Well, so
if you would like to talk, please go outside.
Out.
If
so
you would like to talk.
We can't be respectful and we also can't yell.
If you would like to talk to each other, please
I'm
step outside.
I was trying to make sure you heard me and thank God you could hear me.
Please step outside if you would like to talk
suggestion.
To somebody else.
You wouldn't even allow that.
Public
we
comment
do not allow
is
it.
Over.
Public comment is over.
People were publicly
it's
commenting.
It's over.
You
it's
didn't see
over.
Nothing.
Just
other people
stop.
Were calling
just
public
stop.
Comment.
Stop.
I'm going to tell you just like I told
okay,
you.
Okay, Josh,
Boy.
Continue.
Tell everyone else too. Why were you allowing them to publicly comment before?
Josh, please continue. Just don't even
I tried to be respectful and leave still assholes in your holy
shit.
I'm sorry. Can't continue.
Anyways.
So disheartening
yeah, yeah.
a meeting like this.
I just... If you can't be quiet.
So you're talking about flushing the drains?
Yeah, but again, we have to hydro back it out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the problem is due to the fact that we are at 85%.
Mm-hmm.
And so the recommendation was that it be significantly reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I had a conversation with Jerry about this very thing after the last meeting and the zoning. And I was really seriously looking at a higher, you know, amount of that until I talked to him today.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to him today, a lot of the issues that we have, as I said, is with that particular development is the fact that we have so much pavement there now. And not only pavement, but we also have the gravel that's washing into the storm sewers, you know. So I think that there is something to be said about the reduction in that,
mm-hmm.
significant amount of a reduction. I'm not sure 35% is it, but at this point, we have to do something, and it's not 85% any longer. It's probably closer to the 35, 40,
mm-hmm.
maybe even, you know. I mean, it has to be, because
yeah.
we cannot handle, and you have people that have... got rid of the retention ponds in that area. You know, they've backfilled with gravel that is not the right kind of gravel for what we've got there. So, you know, we have to mitigate our damages in some capacity as quickly as possible. We can always readjust that down the road as a plan is developed. We can always come back and revisit it. But right now, we need to do something that is going to be beneficial to what's there currently. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we at with this?
I'm good with the 35%.
What are you good with?
I mean, I understand the points, and I don't disagree with them. I just, 35% is basically 3/4 of an acre,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of those lots and Wileys are 3/4 of an acre. One owner most of them are owned by one owner, three lots or four lots.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's basically.
Sometimes.
Okay.
I'm not sure most. I don't know, but yeah. I'm with you. There are cases where multiple lots, even side by side, sometimes
mm-hmm.
not side by side, are owned by the same owner.
Yeah. I guess what I'm getting at is 3/4 acre on a 2-acre lot, probably. If we're going on historically off of what is in Wiley's, it may not be enough space. So how?
Well, they're not even following what is the rule currently, okay? So, you know, it comes back down to, you know, if you're not even gonna do what's in writing currently, it doesn't, at this point, 35% is for what comes down the path.
So Josh, if you're not thinking 35%, did you have a number, a different number?
Well,
that you
just,
would like
I
to
agree
propose?
That it's a stormwater management plan, because
mm-hmm.
I mean, every situation is unique.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, I understand the number, and the logic and the reasoning makes sense to me, but they're all different. Every lot is different, so.
But we can't have rules like that, because just like for R1 AAA, we say it's 35%. Again, every property is different,
mm-hmm.
but we can't say if these are the conditions, this is what it is, right? That has to be done a different way.
What do you mean by that?
Well, that could be the stormwater management plan, but
mm-hmm.
we do not have that right now. I mean, we don't do that for anything else is what I'm saying, is that we have to pick a number and apply it to all of them. I understand they're all different, just as A1, A2, R1 AAA, they're all different.
And this would be something along the lines of a temporary situation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we develop a plan, then that would be subject to change anyway at that point. We would have to revisit it anyway. So the key is to develop the plan and take care of the problem that exists currently in case you have to develop immediately. So if you take care of the problem now, and while you're developing your plan, something comes in, you can always revisit it after the fact.
So what? How is this calculated for? So is this by parcel, or is this by,
yes.
How is this number used?
Yes, by parcel, just as everything else is. Two accessory buildings per parcel, right? So many square feet of building per parcel.
So if I have a 4-acre lot, I can do...
That's what I was saying. If you have three lots side by side, that makes up basically your 2 acres, then yeah, you could do 35% on each one of those impervious surface.
But if they're all combined, you have to do 35% of the combined.
Well,
yeah.
if you add them together, you know, if you redraw
mm-hmm.
them, just as a case where the one guy came in and put three
yeah.
lots together, you know, so, and created a new legal description at that point, the parameters are defined by the new legal description at that point. So it would be 35% of the four lots combined, which would be 3.9 acres or whatever. So.
Right.
So good to go or what?
Or do you have a number?
I have a stormwater management plan.
Yeah, well, we don't have that yet. So. Could you live with 40%?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Can you live with 40%?
I'm okay with 40.
Okay, 40.
We're
okay.
going to come back to this, though, when we have the stormwater management.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes.
Okay. We have
okay,
to.
Okay, so then.
There's no doubt we have to.
B3 would not change, so we'll just cross that one out.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones would be changed to 40%. Right?
Yep.
Right.
Okay, next up is, oh, so let me just backtrack for 1 second. Back on number one, mm-hmm. I forgot to mention this. The Zoning Commission had made a comment about needing a definition for automobiles as any motor vehicle under 26,001 pounds. Mm-hmm. That is already in the previous set of zoning amendments that went through. So I just wanted to mention that so we didn't ignore their comment. Mm-hmm. We have already defined automobiles, which is why we then used it in here. So, okay, so the last one then, are we on the last one?
Yeah.
On the last one.
Light,
okay.
Light industrial.
Right, so the last one was to, no, is this the last
one? Are you on B1? B1, 2 office, we just went through that.
Yeah, we're on number nine, sorry. Mm-hmm. Second to the last one. So the purpose, 1201 purpose. So the reason for putting the word two in there was the word two is already in there at the beginning. So it says the purpose of the light industrial district is to provide. So adding the word to after the comma is just a clarification, right? And also after the word and, that's just a clarification.
Mm-hmm.
The big typo was really that limit offsite impacts, comma, outdoor storage.
Mm-hmm.
So the intention there is that it was to limit both of those, but it wasn't well written. So that was the reason for changing the comma to and.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the question about where does outdoor storage belong that was asked, we have that defined in I-2.
Mm-hmm.
So here it says limit outdoor storage, and we have allowed, there are some uses and conditional uses in I-1 today that include outdoor storage of things, but the idea is that it's low environmental impact and all the things that you can read there in the purpose. So we don't want every lot to have outdoor storage of some kind. So that was the only purpose of adding the word to. And if we don't add the word to, grammatically it has the same implication. So changes there?
No, I don't.
Leave the word to or take it out?
Well, if it doesn't matter, then what is it doing?
Yeah.
It's just clarification, just for readability. The sentences, if you've noticed in the zoning, sometimes are quite long and have a bunch of commas and mm-hmm. a bunch of sort of different thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just for readability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay with it, Josh?
Well, I'd like to take it out, but that's just me.
I'd like to leave it in. That leaves
I don't care.
You have to pick one or
settle
the other.
It.
Take it out.
Only reason I say that is all the text changes we make and all this other stuff that happens, if it's good as it is, I'd say just leave it. It's one less thing that gets mixed up later. That's the only reason I'm saying it. If you're saying it's the same thing, I don't understand why we have the need to change it then.
All right, take it out. Not the first one, right? The ones that we added.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
Sorry, you're not taking out all of number nine?
No. Just the word two after the commas in the second and third clause. Second and third part of that statement.
So you're taking out both twos or one?
Both.
Two
twos.
Mm-hmm. Both of the ones, yes, two twos.
two twos.
The
two
ones
twos.
That are in red, that's what you wanted, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Both twos are gone.
Both twos are gone.
Okay. Good. Number 10?
Yeah.
Light industrial principal permitted uses and conditional permitted uses. So we've had this discussion before that one of the ideas is to make the principal permitted uses conditional use. This would make it then so that things aren't interpreted incorrectly, and the BZA then has the chance to, for each case, because as you said, every property is different, to look at what that person wants to do on that particular parcel and see if it fits or not. We've got things like traffic, the drainage, the surrounding properties. So what may be good on an I-1 in Wiley Park may not be good for an I-1 out on the corner of 202 and, what's that road?
Studebaker.
So because we do have some lots that are still spot zoned as I-1, so if people want to change things, this would give the BZA to say, yes, that's a good fit there, or no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
That was the logic behind it. And rather than pick and choose, do no.
That's a lot of permitted uses.
Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much makes everything conditional.
Makes all of them conditional.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Township does this, by the way, so it's not unprecedented. They are within Miami Township.
I like the conditional use from the standpoint of it does give five individuals a clear decision to make and not interpret. The person has to stand before them, present their case, and then those five individuals make the determination as to whether or not it's a good fit under the current rules that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm good with the conditional use on this, but you know, I can see that it is a lot. But I think it's needed because what we have here is a lot of chaos with different types of zoning all over this township because of what we allowed to do years ago. Spot zoning here, and you can have, you know, a business in a residential neighborhood such as what we have on Flick Road. You know, you have a big factory on Flick Road. Everything else around it is residential, so that would certainly.
The other thing it does is it puts a second set of eyes on if that person, what they're saying they're doing, actually fits the what they're asking for. Although in looking at the list, Josh, I do believe that we should leave agricultural use as a permitted use because we're not we're not granted authority to
change
to restrict that
if it's an ag property.
No, if it's an ag use on an even on an I-1, it depends on the size of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was put in as a plat, so in Wiley may not be allowed, but most of the time we can't.
Mm-hmm.
We can't restrict that.
What are your feelings?
I hear the logic. So why don't we move every other use in every other district to conditional use then?
That's a good question.
Okay, yeah. We can.
Does every other township do that? Elizabeth Township does it do that? Throw away my key.
I mean, it's a fair question.
Yeah, I don't agree with it, but I mean, if that's...
And you notice it was not proposed here.
No, I know, but why would we want to do it for this district, though?
Because that's what the board recommended.
No, we just told you why.
Why?
It's so the BZA has a shot at looking at, especially our spot zone places, if that is a good fit for that particular property, because as you mentioned earlier, every property is unique.
I know. I just made the same argument, and you told me no. We need to have a blanket thing forever.
No, I don't
but
think
this
that's
is blanket. It's blanket for everything, but it gives the BZA the opportunity. Just as if we get a drainage plan, then they can look at it for each individual property.
Do the same thing with impervious surface coverage.
Please.
We don't have a drainage property. We don't have
you
a drainage plan definition right
yeah.
now.
You don't get it.
Just stop talking. It's not helping.
He's not helping.
I know.
It's crazy.
He's not well educated. Though.
The disrespect at the meeting is just unbelievable.
To you?
So what would you like?
Well, some of
Josh?
Them I see maybe moving to conditional, but I mean, I'm not prepared to talk about all of these, you know. like a commercial greenhouse, a farm implement and lawn equipment, kennels. I mean, some of these, are we really not want to have these as permitted uses? The ag stuff, I mean, obviously you said we can't do that.
Well, we can, it just may be overridden depending on the property. So I guess I kind of misspoke there. We can move it, but there will be times when it will be exempted by the state, depending on the size of the property.
Because it's that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was part of a plat or not. I'm for moving them all, for now.
Well, I like the conditional use. You know, we talked about this too during the 8 months of hearings that we had open to the public, you know, with the zoning members, the 10, 12 people there.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that, and, you know, they seem to have a good feeling on the conditional use as well, being utilized more than what it is now. I think that it's a good tool for us to have. And if we find that it's not working the way we think it should work, we can always come back and, again, revisit it and determine at that point, you know, what we would, if anything, like to change. But what we have now is not working. So this is a better alternative to what we have now, I think. But, again, you know, I'm one opinion out of three, so... And I don't know where the two of you are, but that's my feeling.
I like them being conditional uses because the spot zoning, it gives it puts more sets of eyes on determining if it's a good fit for that particular parcel. And a lot of that, I mean, I know I think we moved gas stations out of there, but gas station is the primary example, right? We have in the past not rezoned property in the I-1 because they could change their mind tomorrow and put a gas station on it. And there's I-1s around this township where I think people would be, you know, just...
itching to have a gas station.
Would not like a gas station next to their house, right? And just because it's already I-1, if it's a permitted use, it gives them the right to do that. So I just think it gives the BZA an opportunity to say... Yeah, you know, it's a dog kennel, and normally we would allow that, but not in this case, or whatever the permitted use may be. Didn't you mention dog kennel as one of them?
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to do it, I would. I don't feel comfortable doing it, but.
No changes?
I like it the way it is. Conditional use.
Okay. I do too. Okay. So I say we leave the ag one in there too.
Okay.
That's, yeah. Okay, so we're at the end. So we did let me go back to my schedule. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
I don't have any. Do you have any, Josh?
No.
Okay, call the vote, please.
Trustee Kim Adick?
Yes.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Josh Wilkerson?
Yes, with the modifications mentioned.
Okay, motion carries 3-0.
Kathy, did you print those to bring? Did you?
Yes.
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 Okay. I'm not gonna.
Yeah. So all those lines are mm-hmm. in there, so she can make the modifications
okay.
that we discussed, and
okay.
that would be the version that we would sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next resolution, please, when you're ready. I printed two copies of that one.
Yeah, okay, and then there's another one. Resolution number 26-09-086, a resolution directing the Planning and Zoning Department to initiate text amendment changes to the Bethel Township rezoning resolution.
Do we have a motion?
Motion.
And a second? Okay, I will second. Any discussion? So this is, doesn't put anything, this is just to propose additional changes. There are 7 pages of them, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're the things we talked about last week, minus, I took out the data center and solar and wind farms based on what Josh had suggested. And we added the swimming pool one in there. So did you have any comments or questions or?
Looks good to me.
Are we getting all these definitions out of one place? I see playground, I see park.
I go through the protocol in the order. So there's a zoning dictionary,
mm-hmm.
which is now the trilogy of something. We had to purchase it. It's now published in Canada,
mm-hmm.
but that's what's in our protocol. And then there's a whole list of them, and the last one, I think, is Merriam's Dictionary. So some of them are not always in there,
mm-hmm.
so they do come from different places.
But we follow the same procedure for a definition for all. Like, when we're looking for the definition, we go through these.
Right, and the only place I did not really, I'm not sure if that's in there, the ORC, there's an ORC definition. I think we usually use that one. So our protocol for words not defined is interpreted in accordance with definitions in the zoning dictionary by Lehman and Associates. So that's now the trilogy I was telling you about. The latest illustrated book of development definitions by Harvey Moskovich. The applicable fire code, state statutes, which I guess would be the ORC, and the state building code. If it's not in any of those in the protocol above, it shall have the meaning set forth in the latest edition of Webster's New World College Dictionary. But we don't have to follow the protocol to create the definitions. I'm just telling you that was my logic for finding something that wasn't already defined.
Okay.
But we are using the same one. Should be the same terminology, I think.
The number 4, the medical marijuana and adult use marijuana. So we passed a resolution. Well, we have passed 2 resolutions. One was to limit the number of grow facilities and processing facilities to 1 each. And the other was to have 0 dispensaries. So since we passed that, the ORC has gotten, what used to be based on 2 separate ORC sections, what do they call theirs, chapters,
mm-hmm.
and now they've gotten rid of the cannabis, the adult use cannabis one. It's all under 1, mm-hmm. which was originally the medical marijuana one.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically put that, you'll see, to add a section 30.39 with that explanation, and then basically what these changes are would include that resolution, what we passed in those resolutions in the zoning code. So they're not, so we don't have to go elsewhere.
ties it all together.
Yeah, and uses and points out that now there's a single chapter that covers both rather than. And then the amendment history, the very last one. just so you know, I got these out of the old books, the paper books that we had. So I did put a caveat in there to say if a resolution is not referenced next to the amendment, then it's informational only because we have no way of
documenting the
documented
text.
That these are the correct years. We have books in some cases, in some cases we don't. It's just a page in the book, and it references the history, and they're not all consistent. Uh-huh. And I did go back and try to find some of the resolutions, but the problem with the old resolutions is it just says, yeah, we approved some attachment, but there's no attachment. So that's why you see that caveat to say it's informational only. And then if you notice the last few, of course, we do have resolutions that we can reference going back to 2022. And there may be more. I just haven't had time to do all that research previous to then. Those were just the low-hanging fruit, right? And the last one, the one that we're doing today, you probably have to scratch some things out of there. See if we can figure that out.
I see under six, you have the application shall be signed by the applicant or the applicant's agent.
Yes.
How are we going to do that with iWork?
They would have to bring in some kind of proof that they have a contract with them or an email from the owner.
Or a notarized document.
Arthur said it's common to ask for that. We didn't ask for that before because we said, he asked if the owner had to sign it, and I said, well, yeah. But how do you know if it's, the contractor signing it? So said typically you have to prove that.
So we're asking, the application shall be signed by the applicant.
Right.
Or the applicant's agent.
What number are you on?
Six.
Okay.
But it's the same for H and C.
Well, it should be the property owner.
Right. Those are two separate sections. So 2.06 is the BZA. 2.07 is the zoning certificate. And they were inconsistent as far as what was written in some of them for the payment of fees. And also, there is not one for a variance permit application. As you can see there, I wrote the issue. But there needs to be a whole section written for that about what needs to be included in that application, including these things about who can sign it and the payment of the fees.
So the applicant can be an owner or agent thereof.
Right.
That's the way we've done it.
But the agent has to provide some sort of proof that they can do this.
I mean, Steve Owens has always come in and delivered his paperwork.
I was just trying to understand what this meant.
That's all it means. So, like, recently, for an example, we had somebody building a new house.
Mm-hmm.
They don't live around here. They're several hours away. Mm-hmm. So they sent an email saying, I have this person. I'm going to allow this person to sign for me because otherwise we have to mail it back.
Mm-hmm.
So just...
Okay.
So I don't.
I mean, you can ask for a notarized legal document as well, if you want that. Is I mean, sometimes that's done in different other county for different building permits. So.
Okay.
Not that big of a deal.
So the only thing we.
And how did you the swimming pool? How did you get around the 36 or 24 inch thing?
What do you mean get around it? It's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's already in the code. When you sent those changes,
uh-huh.
It was in both the definition and section 30.
3.02 and 30.05.
Mm-hmm.
So the sidewalls are defined in excess of 36 inches, but then the depth in 30.05 is 24 inches or greater. So you're saying you don't want to...
No, already in the code in 30.05,
mm-hmm.
It has, the following shall also apply to swimming pools. For the purpose of these regulations, swimming pool shall include all permanent above and in-ground structures and temporary or portable pools with a depth of 24 inches or greater. So in the definition, you define what above and in-ground and temporary versus...
Permanent is
24 inches
is a
or greater
pool.
Right,
yeah.
Right, and that's what it says here. So the 36 inches used to be in the definition, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying I think it's better if we don't put it in both places, because that leads to down the line somebody may change it in one and not realize it's listed in both.
So you took it out of the 36 inches out of the definition.
No, she took it out,
yes,
of two places. I thought you said you took it out of two places.
I took the 24 inches out of the swimming pool definition. The
proposed
swimming pool definition. The 36 inches is gone either way, right? Because you wanted it to be 24. Well, because we had the conflict before.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
yeah, the conflict is gone. It's only listed in one place, and that will be under 30.05.
Okay, that's fine.
So we only have one set of measurements now,
yep,
and we have
inches.
One location.
Yes.
And then the other thing I took out was you had a reference to letter E under 30.05, which is about accessory buildings of 200 square feet or less being included when figuring the total square footage requirements. So I don't think that belongs in the swimming pool one. It may have been a copy thing. So
no, that's...
Yeah, so it's gone.
We don't
want
it counted.
Right, but... But we don't need to talk about the square footage building, so. Okay. Anything else? So the only thing that we will have to change then is very last line, amended effective October 8th, since we took out, I went through and wrote all those up. Did we change anything?
Mm-mm.
Oh, so we don't have to change it then. That was in the previous one.
Mm-hmm. So we'll just add that, please.
Okay, so any further comments on that?
No.
No, I don't have any.
Okay, let me go back to there. Okay, no further discussion. Call the vote, please.
Trustee Kamma Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Josh Wilkerson?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 26-09-087, a resolution appointing Lorna Bruce to the position of receptionist.
Do we have a motion?
Motion.
And a second? Okay, I have a second. Any discussion? So this is for another 6 months, basically.
What we agreed to.
No discussion?
Everything's still the same?
Yeah.
Everything's the same except the 28, went from 30 hours to 28, because the ORC, as I told you, and I think on the administrator,
mm-hmm.
defines 28 as part-time.
And this is categorized as a seasonal position?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the limit of the 6 months.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Call the vote, please.
Trustee Kamma Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Josh Wilkerson?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0. Next resolution, please.
Number 26-09-088, a resolution requesting traffic signs from the Miami County Engineer's Office.
Do I have a motion?
Motion.
And a second? I'll second. Any discussion? So this is two stop signs for Brandt, two
mm-hmm.
stop signs for Lisa,
mm-hmm.
and replacement handicap signs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, call the vote, please.
Trustee Kama Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Josh Wilkerson?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0. Next.
Resolution number 26-09-089, a resolution disposing of unfit property and authorizing the discard of said property according to section 505.10 of the Ohio Revised Code.
I have a motion.
Motion.
And a second. I will second then. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, call the vote, please.
Trustee Kama Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Josh Wilkerson?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0.
Resolution number 26-09-090, a resolution to record electronic payments and warrants.
Do we have a motion?
Motion.
And a second? I will second. Any discussion? Any questions for Kathy?
No questions for Kathy?
No. I've given him time to look.
You didn't.
No, good.
Okay, hearing no discussion, call the vote, please.
Trustee Kama Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Josh Wilkerson?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0. Okay, public comments on any topic? No papers?
Good.
Okay, announcements.
Kathy, I'd like to.
So, we're done. So, September 15th. Is the County Planning Commission meeting in Troy at 7 p.m. We will have a case on the agenda. Actually, probably two.
Two.
Kathy.
Two cases.
I raised my hand to speak for any time.
Oh.
But you, did you fill out a paper?
I already did. She's already had it. And you already said that you don't need a paper. That was...
No, for the public hearing, you do not need a paper. For this, you need a paper.
Okay, can I repurpose my paper for this, Kathy, please?
No. No. Okay, October 1st is the BZA meeting and the Zoning Commission meeting. Note the date change there. That was supposed to be September 24th, and now it's October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
October 4th will be the fire open house at the Township Fire Station from 2 to 4 p.m. It's a good time for everybody. Bring the kids.
What day did we say that was?
Sunday, October 4th.
Okay, gotcha.
October 6th is the start of early voting, which ends on November 1st. That you can do at the Miami County Courthouse. October 6th is the next trustee workshop meeting to be held here in this room at 6 o'clock. The 7th is the Historical Society meeting, also in the Township meeting room right here. I don't know why that got left off. October 12th, Columbus Day is observed. The Township offices are closed. October 13th is the trustee business meeting and zoning public hearing. So that will be for the next ZTA zoning text amendments plus the lot split on Ross, as far as I know. October 20th will be the next county planning commission meeting at 7 o'clock where we will have a case on the agenda. And then the BZA and the zoning commission will meet on October 22nd, which is the fourth Thursday. And some of these are just kind of save the date things. October 29th is trick or treat night in the township. And as usual, our firefighters will be out.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And that's 6 to 8 p.m. Okay, we need a motion to enter executive session for the purpose to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee or official. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Okay, and a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any discussion? Call the vote, please.
Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Wilkerson?
Yes.
Trustee Reese?
Yes, motion carries 3-0. We will not be having any decisions after the meeting, and time into executive session will be 8.02 p.m. So thank you all for coming. Pause the recording or stop the recording. Okay, back to regular session at 9:53 p.m. No further action will be taken. So we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkerson, and seconded by
me.
Yeah.
Trustee Dick.
Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Wilkerson?
Yes.
Trustee Reese?
Yes, any discussion? Motion carries 3-0. Time of adjournment is 9:53 p.m. and I will stop the recording.